Okay. Well, we're in 1 Corinthians, and I appreciate that Caleb came in and covered for me last week while I was preaching in Passaic, and I heard he did a great job. I need to listen to him, but so I'll never ask him again to do the fill in for me because he did a great job. So made me look bad. No, I'm just kidding. No, I'm thankful for Caleb. I'm glad he got the chance to come in and preach the word of God. But as we're in 1 Corinthians 12, and just by review, 1 Corinthians 12, actually 12, 13, and 14 all go together, and it's about spiritual gifts. And it's the context of all three of these chapters is in the very first verse of chapter 12, verse 1. And this phrase, "I would not have you ignorant." So you don't have to be ignorant about this, because, man, when it gets to this subject of spiritual gifts, there's a lot of ignorance going on in churches. And so we're just trying to see, as I constantly refer to, what I call systematic theology, which is basically, what is the Bible saying? What are the words of the Bible saying? It's not a difficult thing, and when we get done with chapter 12, if we get through these verses today, we get into a parenthetical pause between 12 and 14 regarding spiritual gifts, and it's 1 Corinthians 13, which everybody knows is the love chapter. It's the ones that are quoted at weddings and printed in cards and talked about it. But that's a good context too. But the real context is we're talking about is spiritual gifts, which is interesting. So this chapter starts out with this admonition of not being ignorant, and then as we looked at 2 weeks ago, according to the text, spiritual gifts are diversified. They're different in administrations, operations, and even how they're manifested. But these are given to us by the Spirit to every man, which means every man, for everyone's profit in the church. And we went through the list of spiritual gifts 2 weeks ago, which the text reminds us again in verse 11 that they have an origin of the Spirit, a single origin of the Spirit of God to every man. And I would add that I believe that we kind of get spiritual gifts confused with a lot of things, but I think they're fluid. I think that the Spirit of God gives us giftings that are as needed when they're needed. And it's funny to me that a lot of people, and we went through the list, but a lot of people call giftings like being able to sing or being able to play the guitar, or people, "Oh, you're so the Spirit." Yeah, those aren't spiritual gifts. They don't make the list. Those are talents, and we should give those to the Lord too. But spiritual gifts are not talents and abilities. So let's just jump in and read our text this morning. For as the body is one and hath many members, and all the members of that one body, being many, are one body, so also is Christ. Unity, which, again, the context of 1 Corinthians is they're a church with division. Not like our church, probably. Everybody's got their own opinions, and that tends to divide. And the church at Corinth, we've seen this theme all the way through. The first chapter, they're divided by who baptized who. And then we see in chapter 3, their divisions are because they're carnal, they're fleshly, they're prideful, they have sin in their lives. I'm glad no one in our church is like that. Okay, for by one Spirit we are all baptized into one body, whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, and have been made to drink into one Spirit. For the body is not one member, but many. And here's the illustration. If the foot say, because I am not the hand, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? If the ear shall say, because I am not the eye, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? If the whole body were an eye, where were the hearing? If the whole body were the hearing, where were the smelling? But now God hath set the members, every one of them, in the body, as it hath pleased him. And if they were all one member, where were the body? But now are they many members, but yet one body. And the eye cannot say to the hand, I have no need of thee, nor again the head to the feet, I have no need of thee. Nay, much more, those members of the body which seem to be more feeble are necessary. And those members of the body which we think to be less honorable, upon these we bestow much more abundant honor, and our uncomely parts have more abundant comeliness. For our comely parts have no need, but God hath tempered the body together, having given more abundant honor to that part which lacked, that there be no schism in the body, but that the members should have the same care one for another. And whether one member suffer, all the members suffer with it, or if one member be honored, all the members rejoice with it. Now ye are the body of Christ, and members in particular. And God hath set some in the church, first apostles, secondarily prophets, thirdly teachers, after that miracles, then gifts of healings, helps, governments, diversity of tongues. Are all apostles, are all prophets, are all teachers, are all workers of miracles, have all the gifts of healing, do all speak with tongues, do all interpret. But covet earnestly the best gifts, and yet I show unto you a more excellent way. Amen. So, again, the issue here is division, and it's crept into their spirituality, or how they view each other. Oh, well, I'm more spiritual than you, so I'm better than you. And Paul's going, no, that's not how it works. In the body of Christ, the church, there are many members. People, that's us, but we are all one in Christ. I would not have you to be ignorant. We're all one in Christ. It's not like, well, we got this group over here, they do this, and we got, no, we're all one in Christ. And verse 13 explains on how this is accomplished, and again, it's simple English that I am going to call systematic theology. In case you haven't seen it yet, verse 13, for by one Spirit, a single origin, one Spirit, the Spirit of God, are we all baptized into one body. It doesn't matter if you're Jew or Gentiles, if you're bond or free, we have been all made to drink into one Spirit. Verse 5, just to review, there are differences of administrations, but the same Lord, one Lord. Verse 6, and there are diversities of operations, but it is the same God, which worketh all in all. Verse 7, but the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit withal. Every man. That means every man. Verse 9, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another the gifts of healing by the same Spirit. Verse 11, but all these worketh that one and self same Spirit, dividing to every man severally as he will. So, I don't know if you picked up on what the Bible is saying, but these gifts come from one source alone, and that is God's Spirit. And it is by this one Spirit that we are baptized into one body.
Which is what we read in verse 13 in our text today.
Well, that's interesting, because we've talked about this, because this is very confusing to a lot of people. And it's confusing because they're not looking at what the Bible says.
Yes.
How am I baptized into one body? How am I baptized into the body of Christ? And we've looked at this already, but it's good to revisit this, because I would not have you ignorant. Here's a rule of Bible study. Look at what the Bible says, not what you think it says. Okay? So in Ephesians chapter 4, we see this list that the Spirit of God, through the pen of Paul, is being written to the church at Ephesus and is given to us. Endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit and the bond of peace. That solves your division problems. For there is, now here's this list. There is one body, one Spirit, even as you are called in one hope of your calling. One Lord, one faith, one baptism. One God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. One baptism. And then we can go to Galatians chapter 3. For ye are all the children of God by faith in Jesus Christ. For as many of you has been baptized into Christ, have put on Christ. There is neither Jew nor Greek, there is neither bond nor free, there is neither male or female, for ye are all one in Christ. Which is just almost word for word what we just read. Okay, so does anybody see water baptism in that? For ye are the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. For as many of you have been baptized, immersed into Christ. Romans 6. Know ye not that so many of us were baptized into Jesus Christ, were baptized into his death. Therefore we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead to the glory of the Father, even so we should walk in newness of life. So the one true baptism in the New Testament has nothing to do with water. Because two things happen when you got saved. And we looked at this when we studied this, in the weeks past, based on what Jesus said. If you love me, keep my commandments. And I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever. So he's talking about after his death, burial, and resurrection, when he gives the Holy Spirit. Even the Spirit of truth, which the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him, but ye know him, for he dwelleth with you, and shall be in you. I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you yet a little while, and the world seeth no more, but ye see me, because I live, ye shall live also. Okay, in that day ye shall know that I am in my Father, ye in me, and I in you. So what Jesus is talking about is our new birth in Christ. New birth in Christ. And when I confess with my mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in my heart God raised from the dead, and I am saved according to what the Bible says, two things happen. I'm immersed in Christ. I am a part of Christ's body, spiritually and physically, in the church. I am in Christ. I'm immersed in him. But also, I get born again. I am regenerated, and the Spirit of God lives in me. So That's what the Bible teaches and what the passages we looked at. I am in Christ. So when we do water baptism, this is just, again, so what happens is people read, you know, denominations and churches read this and say, oh, well, you're saved by baptism. Well, no. Baptism is a picture that I am immersed in Christ. I'm buried with Him like I'm buried in the water, and I'm raised to walk in newness of life. It's a testimony. There's nothing magical about the water. There's nothing magical about, you know, I got saved when I was 7 years old. I realized I was lost. I prayed and asked Christ to save me. I didn't get baptized till I was 15. So, what does that mean? Well, baptism is important because it identifies with the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ. But I tell people, it's that, you know, and I said this when I baptized last time. This is what baptism is like. Am I not married now? No, I'm married. But when I put this on, this is a public testimony that I'm married. Sorry, girls, I'm taken. But that's what water baptism is. It's a picture of the one baptism. The one baptism. The only baptism that really matters is that you are placed in Christ. And it goes further because I'm sealed. I can't be pulled out of Christ.
Peter says it's the answer of a good conscience towards God.
Yes. So, in this gifting of the Spirit, the singular source is the Spirit and is Christ, and we are baptized into that body, and then we get this, and remember, I would not have you be ignorant, because this makes it so much clearer in a lot of our understanding about what it means to be a Christian, what it means to be in the body of Christ. And then verse 14, for the body is not one, but there are many members. There are many people in our church that are all part of the same body of Christ and have been baptized into the body of Christ. So, in verse 15, we embark upon this picture book. And I say it all the time. The Bible is a picture book. We read our kids' stories, and I'm sure you read the boys' stories. You know what? They're not following along the words. They're looking at the pictures. And that's what the Bible is, and that's even what it says in Romans 1:20. For the invisible things of Him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made. What you can see, even His eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Man, I remember early on, I heard this verse taught that the Son is a picture of God. The Son is a picture of God. The Son gives off three rays: light, heat, and gamma rays. The light you can see, the heat you can feel, and the gamma rays you can't see or feel, but you can see their effect. The light you can see, that's Jesus. The light you can feel, that's God the Father. The Spirit is like the gamma rays. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. Psalm 19 says, the heavens declare the handiwork of God. Interesting. What about the moon? Huh. Interesting story. I'm a moon. Okay, that could have several meanings, but the Christian is a type of the moon, because you know what? The moon has no light in itself. The moon reflects the light of the sun, except when the world gets in the way. And when the world gets between us and the sun, we're dark. So just, and that can, you know, you can go on and on. And types, you know, types are good, but types break down. But this is what Paul is doing in 1 Corinthians 12. He's talking about something that we can all see. In our body, my foot doesn't say to the hand, you're not of the body, only the feet. And if the ear says, I'm not the eye, I am not of the body, is therefore not of the body. If the whole body were in the eye, where were the hearing? If the whole were hearing, where are the smelling? So God gives us this picture of our body and how diverse it is, but how it all functions together. And that is the way the body of Christ is supposed to function. Everybody in this church can't be the same. We've all got roles, and we've all got circumstances, and we've all got, you know, our lives. And here's the thing. Verse 18. But now hath God set the members, every one of them, in the body as it hath pleased him. God does what he does for his purpose in the church as it pleases him. I would not have you ignorant. Oh, well, I wanted to do that. Well, God's got you right where he wants you. So, and as we read through this picture, and if they were all one member, where were the body? But now they are they many members, but yet one body. The picture of the church and the picture of the body. And the eye cannot say to the hand, I have no need of thee. Nor again the head to the feet, I have no need of thee. Nay, much more those members of the body which seem to be more feeble are necessary. And those members of the body which we think to be less honorable upon those we bestow more abundant honor, and our uncomely parts have more abundant comeliness. For our comely parts have no need, but God hath tempered the body together, having given more abundant honor to the part which lacked. Now, there's a lot of illustrations we could make right there about our own body, like, you know, why do I got this, and what's this for, and you know, man, we put a lot of attention on our appearance, you know, like me, I blow dried my hair this morning, and but you know, there's issues that we are hey guys, that we spend a lot of time on that really aren't that necessary. And that's just the nature of church, and it's the nature of our bodies. But our comely parts, the parts that, how we look, yeah, they don't really serve a big purpose. But there's some other parts of our body that we got to keep them good. And the whole point of this illustration of the eyes and the hands and the feet and all this. Okay. How God has put you as it has pleased him in the body of Christ, in this church. Here is the conclusion of the matter of all of that illustration. And that's in verse 25. That there should be no schism in the body. Schism. That'd be division. That there's no division in the body. Because, as I've said already, and as we've looked at in the church at Corinth, and as we could look at our own church here, division, status, carnality, the members of the body competing with the members of the body. Well, that doesn't work. That doesn't happen in this body. We all work together. The human body works and functions together as one. That's how the church should function as one. And not only does that eliminate division, but here's the next phrase, but that the member should have the same care. The same care one for another. And it's interesting that when we looked through 1 Corinthians chapter 11, which is talking about communion, we get to verse 33, and it says, "Wherefore, my brethren, when ye come together to eat, tarry for one another." Hang out. Find out what's going on in each other's lives. Have care for one another. Not schism, not division, not competition. The members should have the same care for one another. I would not have you be ignorant. And then he gives another illustration. And whether one member suffer, all the members suffer with it. I mean, that's what we got here. I don't know what the deal is with Annie's cancer. Cindy's broken her back and in rehab. We're praying for Terry's recovery. We're praying for Betty's mom. We're praying for Brett to heal up. We're praying for Randy Foster. We're praying for people that are suffering because they're part of our body, and when they're suffering, we're suffering. So that's the care we have for one another. And when one member be honored, all the members rejoice with it. Yay, for whatever's going good for you. Okay, so now we get to kind of the nuts and bolts of what we're talking about in the church. Because in case you haven't got it yet, I would not have you ignorant. By the way, that's the first verse of the chapter, so that's kind of why I'm...
I guess.
Yeah. Ye are the body of Christ. Verse 27. Ye are the body of Christ. And members in particular. We are all connected through Christ. Through us being in Christ and Christ being in us, we are all the body of Christ. Members in particular, you know what? We are a unique, another Bible word is a peculiar people, which has several meanings, but you can pick whichever context that. A sanctified group belonging to the Lord with a singular purpose of being like Christ. And that is continuing in our lives, or should be. Okay, so now we get to verse 28 as we're coming down to the end of the chapter. Because God hath set, and an interesting word, some. God hath set some in the church. And it's not all. Because, well, you'll see why. God hath set some in the church. God hath. Not man. First, apostles. The word apostle means sent ones. That we could say that is a missionary. But I would clarify that by saying, if you're saved here this morning, and in Christ, and in the body of Christ, you have a responsibility to tell others the gospel. Be a missionary. And I use the illustration when I first went to a foreign country in August of 1988. I grew up in church. I grew up in missions conferences, and as I've said before, I always liked the guys that came from Africa because they always had those tarantulas and formaldehyde. Man, if you're a little boy, that's like cool stuff, you know. But to me, missions was something far away and mystical. And we were going to Yugoslavia, but we flew to Munich, Germany, and we launched out from there with a missionary that had been there 22 years. He's actually originally from Newton, Kansas. He's back there now, still alive. He's quite old. but his name was Norman Buznitz, and I thought, you know, here's an opportunity to see what missions is about, and to grab his shirt tail and just hang out with Norm. And I wrote an amazing thing in my journal that Norm, as a missionary, did everything every day he could to give the gospel to German-speaking people. And it occurred to me, this isn't geographically specific. Telling others the gospel, whether you're living here in our neighborhood in Lee Summit or whether you're in some other place God sent you. That's okay. Jesus meets a woman at the well. And he tells her, if you knew who I was, you'd ask for my water and you'd never be thirsty again. And she's like, what the heck are you talking about? It ain't physical. It's spiritual. And he tells her, go get your husband. She goes, I don't have a husband. She goes, that's right. The one you're living with now isn't your husband, but you've been married 5 times. She's like, how did you know that? So this woman meets Jesus. You know what the first thing she did? She went to the town and said, hey, you guys got to come meet Jesus too. You guys got to come meet Jesus too. Do you think she had a shining testimony in that town? No. But you know what happened? People did what she said and came and met Jesus. And they said, "Not we first came because of what she said. Now we came. Now we believe because we hear your words." That's what witnessing is. So I got sidetracked there. But in the church, there are apostles. Then there's prophets, which we would call, you know, pastors, people preaching the Word of God, because that's what a prophet did. And, you know, you could say, well, what do you mean by that? Okay, I'm a prophet. I'm going to tell somebody, here's what your future's like. If you don't accept Christ as your Savior, when you die, you're going to go to hell. That's a prophecy. Here's another one. If you obey the Word of God, God will bless you and take care of you. That's a prophecy. It's not fortune telling. It's not like, you know, I saw an ad the other day. There's a fortune telling now you can get. Wow. So God has set some, not all, some apostles, some prophets. Thirdly, teachers. After that, miracles, gifts of healings, helps, governments, diversities of tongues. Now, are all apostles? This is why he said some. If everybody left and went to the, if everybody was called to a foreign field, we wouldn't have church here. Are all prophets? Well, we have a pastor. We have a handful of pastors. Well, it can't be everybody. I mean, okay, this morning we're going to have Bob preach for the first 20 minutes, and then it's going to be Chris for the next 20 minutes, and then it's, I mean, we can't just go through everybody in the church, because, you know, we have pastors, and that's okay. All can't be teachers. We just, you know, all are all workers of miracles, have all the gifts of healing, do all speak with tongues, do all interpret. So the sum rules just apply to offices or responsibilities in the churches. But everybody can help shepherd. Everybody can have the same care for one another. Everybody can edify and exhort each other, and notice that there isn't any qualifications, there isn't any designation for being evangelist or being somebody who disciples somebody else. That's just rank and file, body of Christ. And then, as I will say one more time. I would not have you ignorant. Because as we finish this chapter 12, where he's making clear that the gifting of the Spirit is from the Spirit, and it's for each other, and it's about each other, and it's for us to function in unity, that there's no schism in the body. He closes the chapter by telling us to covet earnestly the best gifts. And the best gifts are the gifts that help each other in the body. I mean, you can see that. You can see this on the list. And yet. And this phrase is kind of like, I grew up with my mom watching soap operas, you know. And it said, they get right down to the last, and it's, oh my gosh, what's going to... Oh, tune in tomorrow. Now, oh, man. And, you know, they do the same thing every week. Well, here's the phrase that reminded me of that. Verse 31. And yet, I show unto you a more excellent way. I'm going to show you a more excellent way. And for some reason, I always want to do a Bill and Ted after that. So, you've got to be of the Bill and Ted generation to even know what that is. So next week we'll look at 1 Corinthians 13 again, the love chapter, the thing that we the verses that we read at weddings, and those all have good application. The true biblical application of this is the body of Christ, our gifting, how we serve in the body, and how we love one another. And we'll look at that next week. So let's pray. Lord, thank you for your love for us, Lord. Thank you that your Spirit dwells within us, and that we dwell in you, Lord, through the baptism of being immersed into you in the body of Christ, Lord. And we thank you that you are responsible for gifting us, that you are responsible for giving us roles in the body of Christ, and that it's not for ourselves, it's not for our pride, it's for the edification of each other, Lord. It's for us to have care one for another, Lord, to operate in unity as our body operates, Lord, and help us to see that, Lord. And Lord, just bless us in this body, bless us in this local body here at Heartland, and just use us, Lord, for the sake of eternity and the lives of others that we have contact with. And Lord, use us to be witnesses for the salvation of others and for the sake of the gospel, Lord. And Lord, I ask that you would just go with us now as we go into the main service, Lord. And Lord, be with Brian as he preaches the word to us, and let our hearts be open to receive it. And I pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Sorry for crashing your class midway through.
Not a problem. Huh? What's that? Not a problem at all.